so there was no shortage of wisdom that we can find from God when we have those moments in our lives. And both of the scriptures today are exactly those types of scriptures, where God or Jesus is speaking directly to people in specific times of transition. In the 1 Kings passage that we heard this morning, that's God coming and appearing to Solomon at a time not only when the temple had just been built, that had even been promised and labored over and dreamed of during the time of David's father Solomon, or the time when Israel was in the desert and was worshiping in the tabernacle in a tent. But Solomon had also been building a giant palace for himself. Israel was just establishing itself as a nation and potentially being a regional power amongst the other nations that were around them. And so they were also wondering, what type of society would we be? What connection to God would they really have as they established themselves and did all of those things? In John, Jesus is speaking to the disciples at the Seder dinner of Passover, that when he had come to Jerusalem, we call it the Last Supper. And so, just in the span of a few days, Jesus had come in triumphally to the city with Palm Sunday and people shouting out, "Blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus had been confronting powerful people in Jerusalem that many other people were upset about how they were working in the world and oppressing other people. Jesus had been doing powerful teachings, miracles, healings. The disciples were probably getting really amped up of what is all of this going to build to? And then the night of Passover Seder, Jesus actually begins talking in some very unusual ways. He predicts that Judas and Peter are going to betray him and deny him. He starts talking about how things will be after he's gone. And just before this, Jesus talks about being branches as God is the vine and being connected to God. But again, it's all in the context of things are not probably going how you're expecting. And so they're probably wondering a little bit as they're hearing this, what all is happening and where is this going to go? And to me, what's striking in all of these passages of transition is that, ironically, God seems to love being the ultimate devil's advocate. If everything seems like it's perfect and going great and all the markers of success are checked off, God says something about, not so fast. If we're worried that everything's falling apart and we're going to be doomed, God speaks into us, "You are so much more. I have made you to be so much more than you even know." And again, I can tie that back, and it makes me think of those fruit and the dramatic changes and the transition that happens. Ironically, as I started seeing that and I wanted to read a little bit about it and find out a little bit more, typically it has been, especially lately in the last century or so, that crossbreeding for domestication has been focused on cosmetic appearance and increasing of size, right? And been pretty successful. But interestingly, something that often happens is that you get the markers that you want for the size, making it more colorful, but then people have often had to go back and work harder at crossbreeding to get back nutritional value that was lost from the original strain. And so we have these outer markers of things seeming to be so good, but then there's a substance of the nutrition that's lost, and we have to go back. Things are a little bit different than what we thought or what we were aiming for. And I think that these passages in particular, if we listen to them and we are feeling a little bit unsteady, uncertain, wondering where things are going in a time of transition, on first pass, they can poke at worries, concerns, or even fears that we have. And we might be prone to seeing comparisons or bringing comparisons up in our brain and asking ourselves, "It must be if I don't look like this, if I'm not achieving this thing, if we don't have these things that someone else has, then maybe that means that were out of God's favor. Maybe that's what God was talking about in terms of if the temple will fail or if Israel will break apart in the passage to Solomon. Pruning of vines or branches from the passage about the vine that Jesus talks about. And I know that I've experienced some of those same things in my life. As we get to know each other, you'll hear that I've had some twists and turns in my professional life and what types of ministry opportunities I've been able to have. And there are times where there is that whisper in the back of my brain. If I'm not doing this, if this is not how things are turning out a certain way, then that means that God is falling away from me. For some reason, that can creep in really easily. But I actually don't think that that's what God is trying to do in these passages. Instead, God is trying to invite us to let go of those very comparisons and focus on the things that are most important and will carry us through times of transition. See, Solomon seemed to have everything when God spoke to him. The temple was built, the palace was built, and was even bigger and grander than the temple. But then we find out, if we read the rest of the story of Solomon around those very chapters, you can go and take a look at it in your Bible this week, that Solomon's probably just seeing that as another notch in his belt amongst, not just the temple, but the temple is along with the amazing palace I built, the giant powerful military I'm developing. He's finding ways to do all sorts of other building projects, but the rich are exploiting the poor and doing forced labor to do it. Solomon is trying to impress other nations all around him for the wrong reasons instead of staying connected to God. And so even though we think Solomon achieved this amazing thing, had the temple all set up, it must have all been perfect. By the end of Solomon's life, in fact, Israel is crumbling because those other things were what was really the biggest focus around what was happening. And so it really is that our focus shouldn't be on we should look like this in order to prove that we have God's favor, but that if we are rooted in God's love, we can persevere through any set of circumstances, any transition, because we'll be who we're supposed to be. And that's what's the context in Jesus' words to the disciples. This is encouragement. I'm commanding you to love. God will be faithful. God will stay connected to you, even when you wonder if you're going to be empty or disconnected. But the thing about Jesus' context, even in that encouragement and staying rooted in love, is that we see it won't always be easy. Those moments of transition can be very difficult and painful. Jesus is about to go and be crucified, after all. It can look like failure, even as we are doing what God wants us to do and God is most connected to us in the way that God wants to be. And as things go along, the disciples, some of them start to stray from that love, and they try to do other things to be marked as successful or being not the disciples and fitting in with other people, and that's when things start to unravel anymore. But Jesus is always there, ready and welcoming and inviting for them to reconnect in that love, and then things turn around and they're thriving again, and there's a new foundation for a new movement of the Spirit in the church. And Jesus' words to the disciples are especially telling. Some of these last moments before he and the disciples go to what is going to be one of the most formational moments that they could go through before Jesus leaves and a new season begins. What does Jesus say is most important to connect to God and to be able to thrive? Not, my command is to strive for excellence and to be impressive. Not, do everything you can to establish and protect power and influence at all costs. Not even recruit as many followers as you can in whatever ways that you can to be appealing to them. Jesus' command The thing that's most important, the thing that will show thriving, is love. The character of community that God wants us to be rooted in is love. That's the measure of fruitfulness. The measure of our connection to God. The measure of our expression of our place in God's kingdom is love. And no community rooted in love and showing that love to each other and everyone else around them in the community and in the world is second class. No matter what other metrics that people are using to measure them, they are God's friends. Look at the passage. We're not servants. We're not trainees. We're not projects. When we're rooted in love, we are God's partners and friends. And I think that, again, is the lesson that we can come back to from that selective crossbreeding of the fruits and vegetables. We work together with God lovingly. And we will see change and development and growth and fruit. But it will come in so many different ways, so many different varieties. God raises up people to be exactly themselves, and they don't have to worry about comparison to other things to know that they have God's favor and God walking with them. Just like there are hundreds of varieties of things like heirloom tomatoes that all grow on the same type of vine. Just like we can end up with something as unique and different but beautiful as stained glass corn. That is how the love of God moves among communities, even as we might be prone to worry about comparisons. And the thing is, when we start with love, all of the other stuff that we might be prone to worry about will in fact be added to us, but it will be so in a healthy way and not a destructive way or distracting way. After all, love sees and honors and lifts up beauty and excellence, even that which would otherwise be missed or disregarded. Love transforms everything that it touches in a way that no other force in the world can ultimately resist. And love gathers all sorts of people into community that most people would never have guessed could be bonded together and create something new. That's the love, I believe, that God has already put at the root of this church. That's the love that I know can spill out into the city around us like a vine crawling up and spreading over a brick wall to bring wholeness where people are feeling emptiness, disconnection, brokenness. And that's the love that I'm so excited to share and deepen with all of you in this season that we have coming up together. And so that's what I want us to know, that we can stay rooted in together wherever things go, together as a community. And so I'll wrap up now and invite our brothers and sisters that are leading us in the offering as one particular expression of how it is that we show love to each other and to the city around us.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
So, as I was so prepared, but I know you guys are prepared, so we will now take the morning offering. Will the ushers please come forward?